But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, today is the 50th day of the Easter season, the big 5-0. We've arrived at the final week of the time of Easter. And now the church enters into the festive half of the church year. Today, you and I celebrate the third of the three great feasts observed in the church. Today is the feast of Pentecost. Pentecost has been observed for thousands of years, first by Israel and then by the church, as we do today. As a reminder, Pentecost was celebrated by Israel on the 50th day following the day after the Passover Sabbath. Today is Shavuot, which means the festival of weeks. It's called the 50th day or the Feast of Weeks. Simply put, it is a harvest festival. It's the day that the Jews would celebrate the harvest of wheat, and they would bring to the temple their first loaves of bread as their sacrifice to God. In the church, here on this festival day of Pentecost, it has always been celebrated on the 50th day of Easter. Instead of God receiving loaves of bread from us, though, today God gives to us, as we remember, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit that he placed upon his apostles there in Jerusalem, empowering them to speak the Holy Gospel in many different tongues, as your children have already heard. That one language you probably remember quite well, the first one, which I was told was French, but it's actually German. But the second one is probably kind of foreign to you. I could have said, Boker Tov, Lahit Lerut, but you wouldn't have known that either. That's Hebrew for good morning. How are you? Even more important on this day of Pentecost is a fulfillment of a promise. It is the promise that our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples there in the upper room, just before they depart, travel up the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there our Lord would be betrayed by Judas. Jesus said to them, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." These 12 men, whom the Lord has chosen, now we remember that Judas, who betrayed our Lord, committed suicide. And as you heard last week, there was one who replaced him. His name was Matthias. So these 12 men, these are the men that God chose to carry out his ministry, even though they were sinful men, just as you and I are sinful men and women. As sinners, these 12, they were incapable of believing the gospel by their own. by their own reason or strength, just as you are incapable of believing the Holy Gospel by your reason or strength. So that should remind us of something. Let's take out our pew catechism. We haven't used them in a while, but let's take it out. And let's turn to page 7. And let's confess once again the third article of the Creed and its meaning. For this is the foundation of Pentecost. The third article is found on page 7 of your pew catechism. Let's read together. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church He daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and will at the last day raise up me and all the dead, and give unto me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Amen. My dear brother and sister, prior to your conversion, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which happened for many of you there at that font, you were just like the crowds there on the first Pentecost, as you heard in our second reading this morning. You were just like them. You could not come to faith without the gift of the Holy Spirit, acting through His means of grace. And what are these means of grace? Let's review. Number one, it's the preached word. The preached word as the Holy Spirit moved Peter to preach, as we heard in our second reading. Secondly, the Spirit moved the people to repentance, just as He moves you to repentance. Thirdly, He led them to be baptized. And those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Fourth, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. In other words, they continued to attend worship service so that they could hear and receive. Fifth, and finally, they were moved by faith, worked in them by the Holy Spirit, as they performed good works as evidence of their new birth. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to you. He comes to you through word and sacrament, just as He did on that great day of the first Pentecost. Behold, dear ones, behold and take heart. Do not despair. The Lord has not left you as orphans. He has sent to you His Holy Spirit. The promise that He made to His disciples there in the Holy Gospel reading this morning. It is the very same promise that He has made and has kept to each and every one of you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There's no need to be afraid, dear one. Behold, the Holy Spirit has come to you, and He is here this very moment and always living in you. This is His promise, And God will always, always, always keep His promise. Yes, the Holy Spirit is within and in you always, with you now, seeking to sustain and strengthen your faith in your Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit's primary work, to bring you and to keep you in the one true faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit will never point you anywhere else. He will always point you, always point you, always point you to Jesus and Him crucified. If someone ever tells you that the Spirit is pointing you somewhere else, that is not the Spirit of God. That is a different spirit. And that is a spirit that you must not follow. The Holy Spirit began this work in you, dear one. The very moment that you heard His word, whether inside or outside of your mother's womb, He sealed His promise to generate, to sustain, to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ at your baptism. In and with the holy name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is He then who leads you to make the good confession when you publicly confirmed your faith as you knelt here, which has just recently happened. And those of you still waiting, our 7th and 8th graders to be, you're still waiting to do this. But do not be afraid, for your Lord will lead you one day to kneel here and to confess your faith. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not your work. It is not my work. It is not the work of any human being. It is the divine work of the Holy Spirit. And it is He who leads you here to partake of all the good gifts that your Lord is giving you here from His table. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to always direct you to Jesus for your salvation. When we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, for it was on that cross that Jesus suffered, bled, and died a very gory yet glorious death, winning for you salvation, eternal life, the forgiveness of all of your sins. It is the Holy Spirit who moves your focus to the font, to the lectern, to the pulpit, to the altar, yes, even to the cross. For here is where all the good gifts that Jesus gives to you. It is from these that you hear His word and you receive His body and His blood. It is from these that you remember your baptism, that you hear the holy absolution, that you hear the holy scriptures read to you and proclaimed to you. And it is from His table that He gives unto you the greatest feast of all, body and blood, for the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Here is where your pastor speaks and acts in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ and your Lord Jesus Christ. So lastly, in a true sense, you're called an ordained servant. He is the best man standing in for Jesus, who is the bridegroom, caring and serving His holy bride, each of you, His church, rightly administering His gifts to each and every one of you until He, the bridegroom, comes and claims His holy bride for Himself. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, "For Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Dear one, the Holy Spirit is come. He has come for you. He has come in you. And it is by the Holy Spirit that all this shall be done. And it is done. It is done in the name of our holy triune God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He is risen. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.